Ken McHugh is my name. I'm the international officer with what we call Social Enterprise Support Against Racism. It's a volunteer-driven organisation. We work across all sports, about 60 sports altogether, from athletics to wrestling. It's a very active organisation. As I said, it's volunteer-driven. We're all volunteers. I look after the international side of it. I'm very happy to be here, and thank you for Crail for the invite and for Mars. I noticed one of our colleagues are also up in Lights, which is Fair Play. Fair Play, VIDC and ourselves helped to establish Football Against Racism in Europe in 2000 in Vienna. Also, the Respect Programme of the UEFA is there as well, and we have worked very closely with Patrick Gasser, a colleague of mine, in the CSR department of UEFA. So we get quite a lot of international support, more so than we get in the Irish Republic. In fact, we don't receive any funding whatsoever from the state. We refuse to take what's called the Integration Fund. The Integration Fund is quite limiting. In fact, we call it Segregation Fund. It disallows us to if we did take it, we would have to ignore asylum seekers, or we call them people, refugees awaiting, or asylum seekers awaiting refugee status. We also have to ignore citizens of the United Kingdom and also the travelling community. These have to be excluded from the Integration Fund. So we don't take that money, nor do we take other funds that are conditional. So we rely almost completely on volunteering in terms of labour. But we're also funded by agencies such as the King Baldwin Foundation, the UK Football Foundation, private donations from footballers like Thierry Henry, material support from the former French footballer Lilian Thuram, and also Barcelona Football Club have given us their Education Through Sport programme. We also have a broader international partnership with Africa. Our partners in Zambia are Sport in Action, who are presented us with their Health Through Sport programme. So we use the international connections we have very effectively, and that helps us then in our domestic situation. Just to put Reinhardt's documentation into context of sport, the Council of Europe have been very active in the area of sport. Combined with the British Council in 2000, the Council of Europe organised a significant conference in Strasbourg on the social responsibility of sport. Out of that communique came the emergency, what's called the Bratislava Convention. And Bratislava Convention informed the sports section of the Irish government's anti-racism policy. Although it was a footnote, I don't think the Irish government were aware of the commitment that he'd make in signing up to this, because it actually was the first time that it concretised the sport as a as having a social responsibility, and also include sport in the context of anti-racism and anti-discrimination. The other context is the Council of Europe context is the European Council on Racism and Intolerance, and work off the mandate number 12, which is on discrimination and anti-racism in the field of sport. This is a very important document and has been used widely across the Council of Europe countries in again making sport responsible for the actions of its participants and supporters. Domestically, the relationship between SARI and the media goes back quite a long while, since our foundation in 1997, which is the European Year Against Racism. We established immediate contact with the National Union of Journalists, who have always been very supportive. The print media at the time were using quite toxic headlines, very simplistic headlines like "Refugee Rapist on the Rampage" is one I particularly remember. We took the newspaper, and it's on public record, so I can mention it, the Daily Star, to task the editor at the time, Paddy Murray, met us privately and agreed that for every problem that we had, we'd raise with him directly, and he would have, I don't know if you're familiar with somebody courses in your establishment, you put the money into a box and you collect, you know, the bad language, penalised, what's a course form or something. Yeah. Swear jar. Thanks, Neil. Mine is empty, by the way. But anyway, we actually, that was very effective because every time they would print, you know, terms like non-national, interracial, mixed race, half caste, we would penalise the Star, and they put money, it was up to €100, into a special fund we had to develop Soccer Fest, which is our annual programme, our annual project. Also, they had to give us complimentary coverage, so, you know, centrefold spreadsheets of our events, which, again, was an innovative way of tackling the media who were bold enough to use this ancient language, the language of slavery. So we actually decided at that stage to work with the NUJ on developing a glossary of accepted language to dispel of language of slavery, like using the term coloured, for example, as I said earlier on, using the term mixed race, half caste. And we also looked at the modern scientific developments in race theory. We take the line of what we call the single race theory, where we believe there's only one race in the world, and that is the human race. So we don't use terms like Caucasian, Negroid, or Mongoloid, which is in common use in the United States of America, for example. Just following following on that then from the traditional media, we also have major problems with digital media and social media. And one case in particular, in Facebook, we were involved in a campaign to have material removed from Facebook. We found this particularly difficult, and this is something that maybe you should look at as journalists, is that we had to go to the United States of America and approach the Supreme Court there to have material removed, because the Facebook is registered in the United States, and there is such a thing as the First Amendment of the Constitution. And so we have to get a court order, theoretically, from the USA to have material removed, and that can take quite a length of time. Also, we had some bother in the past with a website which emanated out of Glasgow. It was called OK Taboo, and I was getting quite a lot of nasty phone calls, like a message saying keep Ireland green and white. So we approached, we discovered that there were some members of Glasgow Celtic Football Club were involved in this, and we approached Glasgow Celtic, and on the basis of their trust organisation, they exposed the person who was behind the site, and threatened to remove his season ticket if he didn't take the website down. So that was very successful, and again, so just shows you that proves that a direct approach to a football club like that, again with some support from the media, can actually take away some quite nasty elements, and also elements that bring the club into disrepute. I hope to maybe explore more in Q&A, but just to cover areas that we come across quite. It's quite common in the media, particularly the TV media and radio media. Indeed, it's use of stereotyping. Like we heard journalists recently describing footballers, German footballers, as methodical Germans. I often hear people saying Latin temperament, and this kind of stereotyping is something that, you know, again through training to try and remove that at a very early stage in the development of the journalist. The other suggestion that we would make would be that there would be a common language across Europe. We constantly in battle with our colleagues in the UK, for example, for using the term tolerance. We believe that we should be beyond tolerance. You can tolerate a headache or a nasty neighbour, but we should look beyond tolerance and actually look at integration rather than just accepting people at a distance. It smacks of multiculturalism. Finally, the reason why we're still in business is because racism is on the increase. We use sport to combat racism. And working with the likes of the GAA, for example, Tony mentioned the Respect Programme, we work at grassroots level, and I think it's really important to build campaigns from that level up to the top. We're very concerned, for example, about the lack of participation of migrant women in sport. And something that the media can help us with, because women in general get very little coverage in the media. So we would hope that you would concentrate on developing programs around, particularly TV programs on the activity of women in sport. So if there's any questions then later on, I'm prepared to take them. Thanks a lot.